from the book Be Good by Swami Ram Sukhdas. Chapter 8. Silence as a Spiritual Practice.
I usually point out a spiritual practice. Be silent. Harbor an idea from within that I have to do nothing.
Neither selfishness nor selflessness, neither worldly nor otherworldly, that is, nothing has to be done. Having thus thought, please sit down. The finest hour is the morning after getting out of bed. Immediately after waking from sleep, bow down to God and sit down. As there was no resolve, sankalpa, of doing anything in the state of deep sleep, so also there should not remain any resolve to do anything in the state of waking life.
This is deep sleep in waking state.
Thinking, repetition in the name of God, japa, meditation, etc., nothing is to be done.
So much so that
no thinking, etc., is to be done. Even this resolve is not to be entertained, because the resolve of doing nothing is also an act of doing.
Now nothing at all is to be done. Think like this and sit silently.
If the mind does not accept this, then having considered that God is perfect, one and all in all, sit in silence.
If you are a devotee of personate God, Saguna, then having mentally accepted that I am at the feet of the Lord, keep quiet and sit down.
But this consideration is of secondary importance. The thing of foremost and fundamental importance, however, is that there is nothing at all to be done. If owing to any fickleness of resolve anything crops up in your memory, then ignore it and remain unconcerned. Do not fight against it. Neither get pleased nor displeased about it. If there are any noble resolves in consonance with scriptures, do not be pleased with them. And if there are evil resolves contrary to the scriptural injunctions, do not get displeased with them.
You say that mind is extremely bad, but in reality, mind is neither good nor bad.
Badness and goodness are the attributes of man himself. When one himself is good, the resolves are good. When one himself is bad, his resolves are bad. Good and bad, both these are there as a result of their relationship with nature. In want of kinship with nature, there is neither goodness nor badness. As pleasure and pain are two things, there are no such two things in bliss, ananda. That is, in bliss, there is neither pleasure nor pain. In the same way, there is neither good nor bad in the real, tattva, divorced of any relationship with nature. Therefore, be not pleased or annoyed after differentiating the good from the bad.
Resolve may appear and disappear, but think at the very outset that the resolve does not in reality come. It only goes.
Whatever acts we did in the past, their memory flashes forth on the mental plane. Or whatever program or activity in the future we thought of, memory thereof sprouts up, and there I have to go. I have to accomplish that work, etc.
Thus, things of past and future come to memory which have no existence in the present hour.
We do not think of the past and future, but its memory haunts. The fact is that the memory thereof is not coming, but going. Whatever things are stored up in the mind, they are organizing their exit obviously.
Thus, you should not tie your relation with them. Be unconcerned and neutral.
You will not be tarnished if you do not bind yourself in relationship with it.
There are many meritorious deeds, punya karma, in the world, but do we really earn holy merit by them?
Likewise, there are several sinful deeds in the world,
but are we tarnished by them?
No, not in the least. Why? Because we have no relation with them. We have no hands in them. As sins and merits are taking place, so also resolves and their opposites are taking place in the mind. We are not committing them, nor even we want to do them, nor do we have any resolve of their doing.
we have never got to do anything. We get attached or stuck up with them, then they acquire the epithet of merit and sin, good and evil, whereby they produce their corresponding results and we have to bear them. Therefore, do not get stuck up with them, neither support them nor oppose them. If results or their contrary results arise, let them arise. This has to be done and this has not to be done. Give up both these tendencies. Naiva tasya kritenartha nakitreneha kashchana. Gita chapter 3 verse 18. That is, hold fast neither in doing something nor in not doing something. Both these assertive notes should be given up. For the assertion of doing something is also a resolution, and that of not doing is also a resolution. Therefore, be unconcerned with both the results of doing and not doing, and be silent. Then the kinship with nature is sundered, because nature is in the form of activity. This activity may be inside the mind or outside the mind. It, in its entirety, belongs to nature. Thus, if you stay silent both internally and externally, then that what is called the knowledge of the real, tattva-jnana, liberation while alive, jivan mukti, or effortless atonement, sahaja samadhi, will take place. Uttama sahaja avastha madhyama dhyana dharana kanishtha shastra chinta chaturtha yatra dhamma dhamma. That is, pilgrimage is smaller than the smallest spiritual sadhana. Higher than that is contemplation on the meaning of scriptures. Higher than the meditation on scriptures is dhyana dharana, that is, holding fast faith in the Almighty and His omnipresence and meditation on Him. The highest is effortless atonement with the Supreme, the High and the Holy. You will reach and have lodgment in that effortless unison yourself. Its glory is great and beyond words. The glory, Mahatmya, of not doing can never be equaled by that of doing. It never was, it shall never be. The power which lies in not doing is not at all there in doing. The reason is that any doing has a beginning and an end. That which has a beginning has an end, that is not eternal. But the not doing has neither a beginning nor an end, hence that is eternal. In reality, silent, one does not become. Silence is natural to him. They who have schooling in Vedantic values will know and appreciate that the self is neither the doer nor the enjoyer. Thus is sahaja avastha, natural. Doing is ephemeral or transitory, but not doing is eternal and absolute. Run if you can run, till you have your run. Tired of run and freed from deception, God is there without the run. This atonement is neither the waking nor dreaming nor even deep sleeping. The distinction between deep sleep and effortless atonement is this. There is unconsciousness in a state of deep sleep, but in sahaja avastha there is no unconsciousness. Instead, there is awareness, conscious awakenedness, a kindled light of the knowledge supreme. Atma samyama yoga agnavu jihuvati jnana deepite. Gita chapter 4 verse 27. If you get a sleep while entering silence, begin doing japa and kirtana, recitation and singing of the God's name, and stand up. But till sleep comes not, remain in not doing, in silence. If you can be thus silent and quiet even for a few seconds, then too it is a great gain. If silence be there for half a minute, it generates huge power. The power which is generated during silence is never produced in doing. In doing, power is consumed. While doing work, you get tired and then get into sleep. In deep sleep, all the exhaustion is removed and freshness springs up in the mind, body and senses. Energy to do work is recoupled. So also during the time of deluge, pralaya, when silence is established, then the power of creation comes up. In great deluge, Mahapralaya, when silence has its sway, then the power of great creation surges up. Thus the whole power as it is, that all to one, comes from the depths of not doing. Not doing is the nature of the Lord, from whom all powers emerge. Without thinking thus for a few days, the technique of being silent is not gained. If you think for a few days, then alone you will grasp it. Presently, even if you do not understand it, you may please accept that such is the state of effortless atonement. The description of such Sahajavastha is very rarely visible even in the poetry and utterances of the saints. There has been at Sintala Sri Hariramadasaji Maharaja, a great saint. In his hymns of the Lord's praise, there comes such a description. Sahajam Marga Sahajaka Sahajakiya Vishrama Hariya Jivara Shivaka Eka Nama Arutama Sahaja Tanamana Sahaja Puja Sahaja Sadeva Nahim Auraduja. He has given his autobiographical introduction in this very vein. Hariya Jaimala Dasa Guru Ramaniramjana Deva Kaya Devala Dehero Sahaja Hamare Seva. That is, effortless is the path of unison. In unison do I rest. Of self within Jiva and self all over Shiva, O Hariya, one is the name and residence best. Effortless is the body and mind. So is the worship or the prayer. Other than effortlessness, no God can ever be there. O Hariya, Jaimala Dasa is the Guru and Ramaniramjana God. Temple of God is his body and not doing worship of God. In the poetry of Saint Kabir, there is a reference, Sado Sahaja Samadhi Bhali. There is a very scanty description of Sahajavastha in the poetry of other saints, only a glimpse is there. Of the achievement of such a state of easy unison of spirit, the crowning meaning is to be silent within and without, that is, not doing anything. Everything happens by not doing anything. The ultimate of all the spiritual practices is not doing anything. All practices flock, peep in and fill in, not doing anything. This is called effortless atonement with Supreme Self, Sahaja Samadhi. The saints have given it another name also, Silent Satsang. Question: are we not then to be an observing witness to our mind and its activities? Swamiji's answer: no, not in the least. We will observe our mind only when we regard that we are connected with the mind. The truth is that we have no kinship with the mind. Thus, there is no seeing towards the mind. Not observing the mind is not at all an ordinary thing. It is a thing of very high value. As a paisa is also a fraction of millions or trillions of rupees, so also this not doing is of Jivan Mukti or God realization. Question: can we practice silence in any of the spiritual sadhanas? Swamiji's answer: yes, it can be done in any of the practices. A Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, a Jain, a Parsi, or for that matter a person of any denomination can practice it. I had earlier placed before you two observations. One pertained to the path of wisdom, that God is perfect and fills the universe fully, is ever present in the form of ease. Hold fast to this resolve. The second observation pertained to the path of devotion. It demands total surrender or heartily lying down at the feet of the Lord. These are the two main pathways. Bhagatihi jnanahi nahim kachu bheda ubhaya harahim bhava sambhava kheda. Manasa, Canto 7, Chapter 115, Verse 7. No distinction exists between gnosis and devotion. Both uproot the pains of birth and death. We have to do nothing. Even earlier nothing was to be done, nor is now to be done, nor even hereafter. Not even contemplation on the Lord is to be done. We have to fall at the feet of God, but we don't have to meditate on His feet. We have to think neither of the world nor of God. If meditative thought comes of its own accord, then think that your meditation is vanishing, not coming. This is the ultimate practiceless practice.